listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, live on a Tuesday. Jonas and I riding the bus. I'm driving. Jonas is co-piloting. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans, they want to know more than their buddies. Now, he is a Joe. And a lot of people say, Joe, that sounds pejorative. Well, it is. But he's our favorite Joe in Los Angeles, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got Tom Brady breaking all the rules of the NFLPA, we've got Major League Baseball finalizing details for the return of their season. What is the Vegas lead here on this Tuesday?
You know, when I took this job a couple years ago almost now, Scott, who's the FSR, you know, I call him the suit, he says, we don't want very much tape stuff. You know, taped is fine if it's, you know, a minute or two, but in general, we're live radio. And the more I thought about that, it was like, yeah, podcasts have, you know, certainly their appeal. You know, long form, can be more niche audiences, but live radio means when things happen, you can react immediately. So, Jonas, I don't think this would have been the biggest story overall, but since it just happened, I think the NASCAR and the hate crime and the new revelation is the Vegas lead.
Yeah, and after an investigation into the noose that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage over the weekend, the FBI determined a short time ago that Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime and the object that had been there since at least October. NASCAR also followed up with a statement saying that the quote-unquote noose was actually a pull rope for the garage door that was broken.
Okay, so first off, I love to debunk reactionary people. I think in general, people are not as thoughtful about important things that they should be, and that they tend to want to make topics something that makes them feel good about themselves. So what do? How do you feel good about yourself? You point to someone else and you say, yeah, you're not good. You're not good, which means relatively the person pointing is better. I think most of us know that's out there. It'd be pretty easy to say, see, there was too quick to react. And I think there might be an element to that. But to me, it's not the story. Because we know on the fringe, and we've talked about the fringe on both sides of the political debate, they're extreme by definition. They're the 99th percentile, the 1% on the edges. And amongst that 1%, a noose, no problem, would not have been a problem. If they had thought of it, they knew how to do it. You know, obviously there's been, you know, worse things done with nooses in this country, in any country really. So to me, we could say, oh, they overreact, it was too quick. I think the real story is how NASCAR reacted to what was the perceived reality at the time. And Jonas, listening to Colin today right here on FSR, you know, Colin is not a NASCAR guy. And, you know, Colin embraces change. And I think in sports radio especially, there's a lot of guys that look backwards, right? Because sports is changing pretty fast, player empowerment, et cetera. Which means if you loved it before, if I said, how much do you love your partner? And you said, a lot. Well, I think she's going to change a lot in the next 10 years, or he's going to change a lot in the next 10 years. That probably doesn't excite you because you're thinking, wait, I love him or her now. Change means different. Why would I want that? Kind of. Now, they could change for the better, but what we know is that we don't have strong feelings about most things in the positive. Thus, if you have strong feelings about a person, a sport, and if they change, odds are you're not going to love the change. And in general, talk radio, I think, is full of guys in their 50s that don't like the way things are evolving. I think that Colin has done an amazing job of being open-minded to that. Now, I do disagree with him a good bit, actually, where it feels like it's the change for changes, not for change's sake, but it's like if it's change, it's good. I don't believe that. I don't think all change is good. And I think things were so backwards for a long while in different ways in this country that any movement towards fairness, any movement towards freedom is a good thing, right? So I always tell the story, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Dave Letterman was a huge influence to me in the 80s. This is NBC, 1230. You know, I was 15 years old in 85, and there was nobody, Jonas, this is before your time, but there was no one that was doing anything other than straight presentation. Ted Baxter. You know, this is before my time, but Mary Tyler Moore, he was the newsman that had the deep voice, and he would give it to you straight, the suit. And he had no personality. He was like almost like a robot. And most people didn't have much personality on TV or radio. And then Letterman came along, and he was winking at you. It wasn't obvious all the time, but he knew he was in on the joke. And that was a huge influence because no one else, you know, your friends would be like that. Your friends would be sardonic, but on TV it wasn't like that. Then Howard Stern came along soon after, or at least nationally became known. And it was like, and them two actually promoted each other a good bit. And Stern changed everything, right? Really, in hindsight. But you know what? On the internet today, you can talk about anything you want. There's no FCC. You want to record something, put it up on SoundCloud, put it up on iTunes. It's easy, right? And you could record a bunch of farting noises or the worst bathroom humor you want. Doesn't mean it's good, right? So I love, for example, that we've moved towards more honesty in broadcasting, the humanness of it, what's your personality, what's the truth, not just a facade. But I don't necessarily enjoy a bunch of bathroom humor, which is a natural extension of saying you can do anything you want. Thus, I agree with Colin, movement towards freedom, towards fairness is a wonderful thing. And I generally agree with the direction, but I don't think every step in that direction is good just because it's in that direction. Sometimes it seems like it is, but it's maybe not. He calls it rigid. No. Like when he calls Belichick rigid, yeah, because Belichick has spent 60 years figuring out what's right. If you're right, you should be rigid, right? It's just when you're wrong, you shouldn't be rigid. Well, most people don't know when they're right or wrong, because if they knew, they would actually change it. So I'm always skeptical if everyone's going to be supportive of change no matter what. And I'm also skeptical if they never are supportive of change. But in talk radio, Colin's been, I think, better than almost anyone, if not anyone, in embracing the change. So how do you think about that, Jones? You are younger. You came up in a world, really, that Howard Stern was already, there.
Right.
Do you feel like that you ever had a sense that it was going to be difficult to express yourself in any way on radio, or that was always the given? It was already, the war had been won already.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I got advice from somebody early on who just told me, his quote was, "Stay focused and fire away, baby." He's all, just let her rip.
And so this is why you're such a hot taker.
Yeah, and I always carry that with me because I looked at that and just thought, okay, well, don't be somebody you're not, just to try and please a crowd. Don't be somebody you're not. Try and be genuine. And I think people appreciate down to earth, just everyday folks who are talking sports and, playing grab ass, so to speak, on the air and goofing around. I think that there's an element of that that's really enjoyable to a lot of people when they listen. But there is an element of sports radio now where there are some people who take themselves really, really seriously. And I don't know how that translates.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I mean, to some degree, if you actually look at the people who are the most successful, it seems like they do that, because if you don't take yourself seriously, it's a cue to the audience not to take you seriously. So the trick is, how do you do it with a smile? Like, you can really care about something, but not be so hardcore that, you know, because there's not brittle or fist pounding. You know, I've probably pounded my fist metaphorically 5 times in almost 2 years, as in, I do believe, for example, that the NFL is wrong to allow teams to hide injuries when there's millions of dollars being bet. That deception, you know, so I'm a little strident there. So I, someone who thinks everything's a joke, I don't like that either. But you're right. The beauty today is, and to swing it back to the on the NASCAR side, is NASCAR has made some real changes recently. And Colin's been supportive of that, you know, today especially, you know, I think today notably. And if it was a noose or not a noose, and obviously now the FBI is saying it wasn't, you know, supposed to be that, doesn't change that they thought it was that. And what happened? 400 NASCAR people behind Bubba Wallace supporting him. And as much as the NBA is more woke, no doubt, than NASCAR, as much as the NFL even relatively is more woke, more progressive, more on the cutting edge than NASCAR, of all the leagues, and NASCAR, let's call it a league, they've made the move, in my opinion, that has the potential to cost them the most money. And to me, the risk you take, the pain you're willing to take for something, is directly correlated to how much it matters to you. You ask me to sign a petition, and I just got to move my hand to sign it, that's going to be a certain threshold. Low. It's not that much of a big deal. You ask me to give my kidney, it's a much bigger deal. NASCAR has given the kidney, in this analogy, of all the leagues, by making a move with the Confederate flag that is going to at least irritate a significant portion of their audience. So two questions, you, Jonas. One, do you agree that amongst NASCAR fans that a high percentage aren't going to love the decision on the Confederate flag from last week? And number two, wouldn't you say that because of that, if you agree, that NASCAR has made the boldest and the riskiest move in this social justice time?
If that was the case, yeah, I do think it was definitely a risk for NASCAR. I just don't know how big the percentage is of NASCAR fans that absolutely have to have a Confederate flag or else they're not going to watch the sport. I wonder how overblown that is.
No. I agree with that, that's not the case. But here's the thing. What is a relationship with sports? A team, a league? It is you saying, I identify with it. I mean, it's almost insane that so many grown men wear football jerseys, oftentimes of players who are 20 years younger than them, right? So if you got a Big Ben jersey on 10 years ago and you're 55 years old, that's a hell of a statement, but, right? But you're identifying with the team. You're saying, them and me, baby, them and me. You want to know about me? Look at the Steelers. That's part of it. And in NASCAR, and listen, obviously the Confederate flag is a complicated issue in the hearts of good people in the South. Meaning, there's bad people in the South, there's bad people in the North, racist in the South, in the North, no doubt. But amongst the majority, and I believe a majority, a vast majority of Americans are good people. I believe that. And I'm a skeptic of people, don't worry. I just think they want good things. I think they're often stupid. And I take advantage as best I can if they want to play me in poker, want to bet. But I think they're good. They're not evil. But I also think if you look at the South and think there's generations of generations that have passed down, you know, what? The defeat of the Civil War. The reality is it's almost hard to comprehend. This country was not in a political argument. It was in a war. A war that more Americans died than any war ever. And if you get beat in that war, you know, literally it was like California, you know, we can say Texas or California because Texas is more Republican and California more Democrat, wanted to leave the union. And the president said, nah, I don't think so. We're going to bring the troops in, fight the troops in California. And then when we win, we occupy California. Now, that's literally what was happening. Now, obviously, the cause to fight for, ending slavery, was a good cause. No, you know, again, it'd be the fringe of the fringe that would disagree with that. But it doesn't change there was a war. It doesn't change the South lost. And it doesn't change a lot of the reason that they have monuments up today and the flag. I don't think many people look at the Confederate flag in the South and think that represents slavery. I think they think that represents our Southern pride. The fact that that is connected to something that did represent slavery is the problem. But in general, I think, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard, you know what was painted on the General Lee, don't
right.
you?
Yeah.
I don't think the Dukes were racist. That was about their Southern pride. And you might ask yourself, well, why do they need so much pride? Because generation after generation had to live in the shadow of losing that war. And it felt like something they had to, explain away in their own hearts. Now, obviously, as we keep moving, you know, it's 150, 60 years ago. So as we keep moving, you know, we hope that changes. But in general, I don't think that for most good Southerners, the Confederate flag represents bad things. But I see why for some people it does. In fact, objectively, it does. I see that, no doubt. And to me, Jonas, to wrap the topic, that's why I think those hardcore fans, it's going to be harder for them to point and say, see, NASCAR, that's me, because Southern pride is them, and that's what the flag represented. And now the flag is being taken. That is being taken from them. Though, again, I think net-net, it's a good thing because of what else that flag represents.
Yeah, and I also think for NASCAR, you know, maybe their look is, you know, we want to take this a little bit more national. We know that we're big in the South. We've already got the South, but we need to make it more appealing to people everywhere so we can grow our audience if we can. And maybe that was also part of the approach.
I think that's part to make it where it's more easy to swallow. But net-net, they'd be better off doing that without making, you know, without disenfranchising,
right.
Without demoralizing some of the reason there's been so much love. Hopefully for NASCAR, it wasn't just, you know, again, what is a flag? It's an emblem. It's supposed to represent something. You can, you know, hopefully there's other ways the South can feel good without echoing something that has such a bad element to it as the Confederate flag. When we come back, I want to talk about Kyrie Irving and his new career, it seems like.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a look ahead at the upcoming restart to the NBA season.
Yeah, I've got a take on Jamal Adams coming up. I haven't heard before, but I think once you hear it, it's going to be like, wow. There's no way to think of it without considering this. But a lot of people have done it. It's a great day to join us. We are the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Our audience has more than doubled in the last year. That's up by percentage, Jonas. There's others going around trying to come up. Now that we've started talking about this, coming up with different stats. Yeah, I don't know if they're true. I mean, I would assume they're true. But by percentage, no one else has more than doubled or even come close, to be candid. Had a few questions about that. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app. Just download it. Search for Straight Outta Vegas, RJ Bell. And you got us, baby. Right now in Las Vegas, on the Strip, 107 degrees. The neon is boiling.
So
oh my gosh.
RJ, the NBA season is about ready to start back up again, and the deadline is approaching for players to let the league know if they will be participating in the bubble coming up in July and in August in Orlando.
I want to talk about Kyrie. It's like somehow Kyrie Irving, you know, first off, let's embrace squarely why players make so much money and accept the fact that if you object to this, you're not really thinking clearly. Because really, the money is a percentage of the revenue, effectively, right? 52-48, 50-50, whatever the splits are, the salary cap leagues, the leagues with revenue sharing, NFL, for example, NBA. Hey, NBA signs a great deal with Amazon. They're making some money you didn't expect, let's say. Everyone benefits, right? Profits, interest, and business. Thus, we can debate, well, what percentage of the overall take should you get as a player? And that's usually one of the intense negotiation points. But once you agree to that as a league, now the players are getting their share of the spoils. Makes a ton of sense. And if we as fans didn't vote with our feet, as they say, didn't vote by watching, buying merchandise, whatever, buying tickets, that revenue would go down. And the players would make less. They're making a percentage, and it's a negotiated percentage. Now, amongst that team's money, right, the Mavs, whoever, they have to then say, okay, we're going to allot this much to this player, this much to that player, and they make that decision. The Brooklyn Nets decided Kyrie was worth the max, and there you go. The max was set by the salary cap. It all makes sense. It's all pure business, actually. Here's the part that I don't understand. And it's an extension of this movement to player empowerment. Now, empowerment implies you are gaining power. But for what good or ill? Like a mobster tries to gain power, right? He wants to take over and the government or the cops try to stop him, right? It makes sense. So all power is not necessarily benevolent, right? It's not all good. I'm not saying that Kyrie is the opposite of, I'm not saying he's malevolent, but he's making $30+ million. It seems to be that he doesn't play Jonas often when he maybe could. I mean, it seems like the injury question with him is, you know, the wind got to be blown for him to want to, you know, the right direction for him to want to play. And even on the same team, a guy that I think more people as fans like, Durant, I still question how is it that Durant could be getting full salary. He didn't defer his salary. He didn't say no thank you to the salary this year. I'm not saying he should have. I'm saying he signed, you know, they signed him after he was injured. But once he, you know, it's moving towards 14 months since his Achilles tear, almost everyone in the last 10 years has had that injury was back by that time. They're in the playoffs. Let me ask you, Jonas, how is it that no one seems to even raise a peep that Durant seemingly isn't even given much thought to playing?
It's very strange. I think that people are still caught in the, well, he already said he wasn't going to come back this season. All right, well, you know, that was before a pandemic broke
out. That's what he said. What does that even mean?
And a pandemic broke out, and 3 months of the season were chewed up going on 4 months of the season. So to me, I look at this as a golden opportunity for Durant or a team like the Nets to steal a title, so to speak, because you've got just as good of a shot as anybody else. And with those two players, if they're healthy, it's hard to find a lot of better 1-2 duos in the NBA than those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of ifs there, right? And you're right. That's the way it was presented, because the theory is Durant is pretty much, now again, we haven't seen him after the injury, but he's pretty much, before the injury, what LeBron was in his prime, at least as a dominant force, as a scorer especially. And Kyrie's Kyrie. Now, how's, you know, who was with LeBron, obviously, in Cleveland, they won. So the question is Kyrie worse than he was then? Age-wise, he shouldn't be, right?
Right.
So, yeah, they in theory, they should really, you know, my understanding was if Kyrie had been healthy, you know, if they had entered this season with both healthy, so it would have been Durant not being injured, that Brooklyn would have been like right there with Milwaukee, Lakers, Clippers, and Brooklyn, all would have been in that 3-4-1 range.
Yeah, because they were also, the point people were making is that, you know, they were a playoff team a year ago. I mean, so
they had to lose a lot of the team to get, you know, and a lot of that was chemistry too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and so the fact that you add those two guys to a playoff team, you would think that they would just get nothing but better from that point, and yet here we are and they're not playing and not available.
And I don't even mind that. I mind that no one seems to talk about it. It's almost like there was a memo passed around. Again, I think you're on this email list and I'm not, in which the marching orders are given. And it's like, well, we've done a study and we believe if you was a, you know, male in his 50s who's driving a Lexus, if you talk about, oh, these players aren't playing hard enough, you're going to be perceived this way. So you need to act like you care about. Come on. Who in their right mind thinks it's okay to take full salary and be able to work and you choose not to, and there shouldn't be a consequence?
I also get the impression there's a large population of sports media that feels bad for Kevin Durant for coming back when he clearly wasn't 100% and suffering the Achilles injury. And so they're willing to cut him a little bit of slack if he wants to play this one extra safe in trying to come back and play.
If you feel bad about bad luck, as in bad fortune, then yeah. I mean, there's times someone might, you know, get injured three straight times and you feel bad for them, right? Gale Sayers, the idea that one injury ruined his career, I feel bad for him. But that's the game. And to me, he didn't come back. I mean, you remember how he was playing. What was it, about 15 minutes before he got injured? It was over a quarter, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And, I mean, if I remember correctly, he had like 14 points.
Yeah, he was playing well.
So I'm not saying that there aren't kinds of injuries that you can play, you know, well, but then it increases your chance of additional injury. But unless they believe the Warriors were purposely deceiving, and listen, I'm not saying that's impossible, but if you believe the doctor, then it happened. So, you know, meaning it was bad luck, but I don't think it was something that they came to him and said. In fact, that would have came out for sure.
Yeah.
If they would have came to him and said, listen, you can play, but your chance of being injured is double, and you got to decide. Like, that wasn't the conversation as I've ever seen it reported.
No, I think people jumped the gun on that one. They tried to, well, you know, the Warriors pressured him into coming back. And I think it was even Durant who said afterwards, like, nobody pressured me to come back. I'm a hooper. I play. This is what I do. And I wanted
to. Yeah, but remember, I'm sorry to interrupt, but remember at the end there was rumors there was going to be a lawsuit, remember?
Yeah.
So he didn't want it to seem like he wanted credit for coming back. Because if it looks like you got deceived into coming back, then you look like you're the square, right? You're the guy got suckered. This way he can say, I came back because I'm a warrior, baby. No pun intended. But it's hard to then be a victim. So you want to be a warrior, you're not a victim. So to me, I think it's gone left and right because he wanted to be the warrior, the guy that said, I'm playing no matter what. But then he wants to feel like he was put upon. Yeah, it's complicated. But here's the part. I'll give one possible excuse to Durant. If he told Brooklyn when they signed him, because they chose to sign him injured to this contract, so he should get every penny. But if he had said, no matter what, I'm not going to play next year, like I, it's in my head or whatever, you got to know that. If they agree to that, then in this case, the employer is in, you know, agrees, and it's fine. Now, obviously, the four-month delay or whatever would at least have a conversation be had. I'm not questioning Brooklyn. I'm not questioning even Durant. I'm questioning why it's almost like people are afraid. Like, they'll say it like this. You know, I think it's possible that some people might be wondering why Durant's not playing. They won't even say it themselves. They have to attribute it to some mysterious person. No, I'm RJ Bell, and I'm wondering how many of you would be able to not work and not even be questioned about it and still paid. Somehow, Jonas, as nice as this gig is, I'm thinking if either of us didn't show up, at some point you'd hear about it. What do you think?
Yeah, they'd be honest.
Even if you hurt your vocal cord at some point, right?
Yeah.
If you're supposed to be back, you're supposed. And so, listen, like anything else, player empowerment is probably moving in the right direction, but it's not no limit. It's not as if as far in that direction as you can go is better. And I think Jamal Adams is a good example of that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, I was thinking about Kyrie. I've got to give him one more little crack here. When I, now, listen, I don't know Kyrie. I'm not saying he's a horrible. I'm not saying he's a bad person.
The wickedest man in the world.
I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, this reminds me of, did you ever play PG, like with a plastic ball and bat as a kid?
PG.
That was what we called it. It was like, whatever reason, it was, you know, like a wiffle ball.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
A wiffle ball with a plastic bat. You know, you're 8 years old. So we had a kid, Matt Lowe, who is still a friend of mine, lived a couple houses down. He was younger. He was a precocious kid as an athlete. And we had like a league in the backyard an entire summer. Like, we might have been 9, 10 years old, right? And we had stats. So every time you hit a home run, you know, the fence was the yard. It'd be like 23rd dinger of the year. Okay. So we were going, my family was going to somewhere for vacation. And I tried to talk everyone into having an all-star week. Because my thinking was, you know, I was somewhere, it was only like four kids playing, so I was somewhere near the leaderboard and home runs or whatever. And I'm thinking, if they have a whole week of hitting dingers without me, I'm in trouble. So I tried to talk them into having an all-star week that I wasn't going to be a part of, but the stats wouldn't count. They didn't fall for it. But it's kind of like Kyrie. Kyrie's not playing. And he's like, you know, guys, maybe we shouldn't play. You know, let's make it about social, you know. And
right.
I get it. I'm not saying Kyrie doesn't genuinely care about social justice. I'm saying maybe he's not the right leader when he's written out of the coalition. The coalition, that needs a theme song. The fact that he generally has been known as a guy that put winning second. You probably don't want that guy out front saying we shouldn't even play. And then the fact that he's choosing it, or however you want to say he's not playing with Brooklyn, he also shouldn't be the leader. So maybe he should be the guy in the back if he's the mastermind whispering stuff. But wouldn't you agree that he's maybe the worst possible leader to say? Because if a guy like, not even LeBron, but a guy, you know, who's the, you know, biggest name, but a guy that's just known to care about winning, right? The kind of, if he stepped up, like Bill Russell back in the day, it was like, wow, this is big. But Kyrie looking for a day off doesn't seem like is necessarily noteworthy. What do you think?
Well, and he's not exactly stuck to his word in other points in his NBA career, whether it was, I plan on re-signing with the Celtics, the flat earth stuff that he walked back. No, like, there's just a lot of stuff that he's been inconsistent on.
What are you talking about, walked back?
Yeah,
All those pictures are fake, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he later said he didn't believe in flat earth. I have no idea. I mean, it's hard
well,
to keep
listen, if you wait long enough, he's going to say both sides of every
right.
story, it seems like. And it doesn't mean his heart's not in the right place. I don't know. But it means he probably shouldn't represent your movement. When we come back, we will get to Jamal Adams. And I've actually thought of a better way to even say this. If Jamal Adams is successful and more of this happens, the very reason the NFL is dominant will go away.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So RJ, Jets All-Pro safety Jamal Adams has made it very, very clear he would like out of New York, even so much as this weekend being heard saying he was trying to get to Dallas when asked by a fan on video.
Trying to get to Woodstock. All right. This, to me, is a paradigm-level conversation, meaning this is the basis, the very foundation of our assumptions of a given sport. And here is what it is. The NFL is a company. It's an organization of multiple owners. And the XFL, for example, competed against them. There is no football that the government runs. There is no single football league. There is no monopoly. Anyone can, Jonas can start a football league. Anyone can. So when you choose to go to work for the NFL, it's really you saying, I don't want to go to Canadian football. I don't want to go to whatever other football league, arena ball. You're choosing. Now you might say, RJ, who would choose otherwise? Okay, fine. It's a dominant company. But the question is, why has the NFL grown to dominance? The USFL was fairly competitive. Long time, Herschel Walker. You look at the people from that era that played in the USFL. AFL. We call them the NFL now, right? It was always the NFL, but you know what? The AFL was half the league. That was a competing league at the time. And the Super Bowl was them playing each other the first, you know, before the merger. So the idea of the NFL is some, like, oh, it's unfair that they're saying that they can't, the Jets have to, or Adams has to be there 4 years. Why is he, who, you know, if you're a writer, you could go to any magazine you want. You don't, yeah, okay. Except this is like getting hired by the Associated Press, and the AP says, you're going to write in Oakland. You're going to write in Tallahassee. If you don't like it, leave. No one's obligated to play. Andrew Luck, he said, a couple weeks before the season, I'm done. No one got sued. He didn't get sued. In fact, he got paid. He kept some of that money he wasn't supposed to. Well, the Colts let him, right? Because players are never wrong. But the fact of the matter is, it's like going to IBM and them telling you where you're going to be. And you know what? It's why the NFL is dominant. You know why? Because of parity. Parity means any team can win in any given year. You might say, not really. Hey, look at the worst of first. Every doesn't happen in any other sport. The difference, as Al Pacino would say, literally is a matter of inches. It's a fight for inches in the NFL. Why? Salary cap and the way they so advantage bad teams. Because not only do they get the first round picks, the most valuable players on any team are those on the rookie deal because the prices are somewhat depressed. And you know why? It makes it for a league of parity. And if any player can say, well, the team that drafted me is no good. I don't want to play there. Freedom, baby. Well, there wouldn't be any teams that go from worst to first. It would be like in college football, pretty much the same powers, the same powers. You get some aberrations there, but the same powers. In the NFL, there's only a handful of teams that do well over 20 years. And usually some years are up, some years are down. And you know why that happens? Because the Jamal Adams of the world are obligated contractually to stay with the Jets, a bad team, until they turn it around, but giving them a chance to turn it around. Do you see that parity being so important to the NFL, Jonas?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Jamal Adams got his feelings hurt a year ago when he was floated in trade rumors.
But he wanted, he's the one that was unhappy at the time. That's why they were even exploring it.
And so now he's coming back, and the part that just is confusing to me is, if you really want out of New York, then why don't you stop making a list of teams that you're only willing to go to? Like why would you hurt the Jets' chances at making a deal with somebody else by saying you only want to go to seven or eight teams?
Because this isn't about not wanting to be in New York. It's about him wanting what he wants this moment.
Yeah.
And the millions isn't enough. He wants that too. So he should be able to dictate when and where. And you know what? I don't blame the players, because the actions on the players' part – squeaky wheels get oiled in such a way, it's kind of dumb not to be a squeaky wheel. If we stop doing that, then the wheels don't get as squeaky because there's nothing in it. Right now, there's so much benefit from being a squeaky wheel.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!